Take a trip with us to learn about some of your neighbors with this edition of KXCR Conversations. These are neighbors just like you and me, and how their lives are filled with history. KXCR Conversations with you.
Welcome. This is Will I Am, sitting with Marilyn Barbara, the program director for Food Backpack for Kids. Morning, Marilyn.
Good morning.
You gave me this beautiful piece of writing that was written, you say, 6 years after Food Backpack for Kids started. Is that true?
That's correct.
I want to read this to the folks to really set the tone of this interview. Prior to the Food Backpack program, Monday mornings and Friday afternoons were the times of unusual behavior for some children in our schools. For the children that had little to no food for the weekend, Monday morning was the time where many children scrambled to satisfy their hunger by eating everything they could get their hands on. Some children would roam from table to table asking their friends for any uneaten or unwanted foods and then proceeding to eat every morsel. Friday afternoons saw the hoarding of food by students that knew that nothing may be at home for the next few days. Certain students would bring their school bags to the cafeteria and collect anything that was given away or left behind to take home. Since the donations of the weekend food bags began, the mad scramble for foods on Monday morning and Friday afternoons has ceased. That's a remarkable testament to the power of your work, Marilyn.
Yes, it was a quote from Andy Groskowiak, the Siuslaw school superintendent, that actually saw the before and after condition of the children.
Thank you for noting who wrote that. Hungry children in right here in Florence and Mapleton, how did you become aware of this reality?
Quite unexpectedly, we were a group of about five women sitting around a table at our church planning a tea for women in the community. When one of our group shared a story about her foster child coming home from school really distressed. And upon questioning him, she found that he had a good friend at school that told him over the weekend that he had to go through a dumpster in order to find anything to eat. It was on a weekend. And so the friend was so unexpecting something like this. He came right home to tell his mother, who shared it at our planning meeting that day. And it was unbelievable to us. And we discussed it more, the thought of a child going through garbage to eat. And we then began to wonder if it was a singular problem or more of a systemic problem. So I went to visit Mike Harkelrode, the Siuslaw Elementary School principal, to see if this was more of an issue with other children. He was in the multi-purpose room and multitasking at lunchtime, and he was very willing to talk to me, never met before. But he said, yes, if you don't mind my interruptions I have, I'll be happy to talk to you. So I shared with him that story. And I asked him, is this a problem with some of your students at school going hungry on weekends? And without even hesitating, he says, I'm so sorry to say, I can think of at least 20 children that face that dilemma every Friday when they go home. So back to the board of women to report with more discussion. We were really shocked at the number of children that went hungry on weekends, and we discussed what can we do about this. We were moms and grandmothers, and to us it was just unacceptable that that was a reality for those little kids. We had raised a little over $2,000 in fundraising and wanted to do something to help kids in our community. What could be more important than feeding those children.
I agree. Let me ask you, what did it take to develop the Food Backpack for Kids program?
We had no idea. We had nothing to follow. We just had that passion to feed and $2,000. Looking back, though, there were six major steps that we took. First of all, it took 9 months of researching, organizing, planning to build and then birth the program. We had to develop a cohesive infrastructure to follow, and that would be vital for us. Then we had to have money. Well, we had $2,000. We had to have two essential partners, and they were, first of all, the Crossroad Assembly of God Church. It had a 501c3 tax exemption, and our program fell under the umbrella of what we could do for the children. We also needed a place to house this food and implement our program. They provided the space that saved us lots of money, paid utilities, underwriting every expense we could have so that every penny of our $2,000 went to food. Then we had to train a team of volunteers. We ended up with 45 volunteers that just couldn't go without some training. And so that's what we did there. We planned menus that were nutritious, 3 meals for Sunday and Saturday plus snacks, fresh fruits and vegetables, shelf-stable milks, cheeses, etc. And keep in mind that in planning these menus, we did not know the circumstances those children would go home to. Did they have a kitchen? Were they homeless? They had we had no way of knowing what they faced, so we had to plan for every situation they might be in for their eating their food. Then lastly, we had to find markets that sold prepackaged shelf-stable foods that were easily opened by the little hands. That's kind of all it took.
I moved. Tell me the name of the church again.
Crossroad Assembly of God.
They deserve a round of applause, tell you.
Yes.
When did you actually begin delivering the food to the students?
Well, we began the research 9 months before in March of 2012. And so we actually went back to the school and asked how we could partner with them. We had no idea who the children were. The school did. So we had our plan put together and asked if we delivered the food bags to them, if they could distribute it to the children. In October of 2012, 9 months later, we actually began delivering our first food bags. And we didn't have a lot of money, so we asked the principal if we supplied 20 food bags, if he could choose the children that were most at risk. And he was happy to do that for us. And we committed to the 20 children with the idea that in October, we would be able to fund those food bags for those 20 children to the end of the school year. It was really difficult for Principal Harkle Road and their staff to prioritize the number of children. And they were also very protective of the children's dignity, bringing food bags and placing them in their hands. They took them aside privately and placed the food bags in their backpacks. Well, we were 4 weeks into the program in November. I had an appointment with Mike to review the status of the program at school. And he said, one of the first sentences he said, "Marilyn, these students are already counting on the weekend food bags. They come up to me, tug my sleeve in the hallway or on the playground, and they said, 'The food is so good, thank you.'" Different little comments like that. It was an immediate success. It filled a need that was really huge for them. Mike's one concern was the same as ours. We began to think, uh-oh, our money is going to run out. And he said, what about sustainability? He says it's almost as cruel, hard on the children to give them food and then run out and take it away from them. So he wanted to know what's going to happen when your seed money runs out.
And what were your options? You arrived at the end of the 2012-2013 year with your seed money spent. What fundraising options did you have?
Well, that had been on our minds since we heard how very much the kids were counting on it. After just 4 weeks, the various dynamics these children lived in away from school would not change when we ran out of money. And to our dismay, we learned there were closer to 60 students in Siaslaw schools who faced weekend hunger during that school year. And then in Mapleton School, we hadn't begun feeding them yet, but the number of kids going home for the weekends, and they had three-day weekends, was even more systemic. They had even more poverty level among the majority of the children than Siaslaw did. So our team had two options. We could walk away saying, well, we tried, or let our community know of the invisible reality of local hungry children and ask the community for donations to Food Backpack for Kids.
Well done on not walking away from the problem. Where did you begin to let the community know that so many local kids faced weekend hunger?
Honestly, we felt like deer caught in the headlights. We were frozen. We were overwhelmed and fearful of asking the public for money. No one even knew about our program or the problem the children lived with. And that was right here in Florence. It was just over and over again when we presented that to the community. They were aghast at thinking the program was so, the need was so huge. But we began by writing a grant, first one, to Western Lane Community Foundation for $1,500. And that was a huge, uncharted territory for us. We never thought we'd write a grant. But they generously funded it and trusted us with that money. The Florence Kiwanis, the Elks, the Ladies of the Elks, the Rotary, they were all quick to support our new program for us. We also got the word out by making presentations to any group, church, public service organization that asked us to visit them. The Siaslaw News was supportive with PSAs as well as a future article. Both KXCR and KCST invited us to talk to their audiences. So many individuals make monthly donations, and they love knowing that every dollar they give is spent on food. But there's one group that deserves special mention this morning. Every August, the Florence Christian Church has a special week planned for kids called Vacation Bible School. 4 years ago, those kids chose the Food Backpack for Kids program to donate every penny they could earn. They cashed in bottles, emptied piggy banks, did odd jobs, and so many other creative things to bring their daily offerings as they watched the totals grow each day. Friday was the big reveal. Food Backpack for Kids has been those children's choice to donate to for 4 consecutive years. And I call it kids helping kids. How sweet is that? The parents teaching the children to care about other children that aren't so fortunate. And the loving work of their little hands in 4 years has raised well over $12,000.
Wow.
Nothing has humbled and motivated our volunteers more than their compassion for one another. Our volunteers work tirelessly to earn our amazing community's trust.
That's inspiring. Let me ask you, how much does it cost to feed a child for 1 year?
When we began in 2012, the cost of food for one child for the school year was $500. And that's an estimate because we face three constant variables in our effort to budget for the program every year. Number one, the cost of food. And we all know that goes up more than it goes down. We also face the variable of number of kids at risk each year. The school's student body changes every year. Then there's some families that are doing well, but there's some families doing not so well. And so it takes the staff at schools to about a month to determine what child really needs that help. So that's why we begin in October. Well, in the current school year, 2017-18 school year, the cost to feed one child per year is $620. So over the past year, it's gone up $120 per child.
And how many children are you now serving?
We are serving, last year we served in the Siasaw School District 72 children and 25 children in Mapleton every school weekend. That was a total of 97 children. And for the 2 weeks before Christmas break, that number increased to 107 students. So the total estimated cost for last school year was $66,340. Our motto is, together, no child will go hungry. And I really think our mission has been accomplished.
Oh my gosh, I'm stunned, 63,000 and change.
Yes.
It makes me want to say to our listeners, if you're doing well financially, can you support one child for a year, $620 donation? If you can, please do so, or more. How can people listening donate?
I think the best way would be to make a check. It's tax deductible because we're a 501c3. Make a check out to Food Backpack for Kids. Send that check to our post office box 3347 in Florence, Oregon, 97439.
Thank you. I wish you we've got plenty of time, and I really do wish that we had a child or two here to share with us their thankfulness of this, the effect it might have had on their life. Do you have any stories along that line that you'd like to share with our audience?
That's one situation where the school is governed with a bureaucracy that is very, very protective of the children, which is good. And with them allowing us to feed those children, the school, the local schools, took a big risk in the bureaucracy and the structure of trusting us with their children to feed them. And so they have never been able to give us access to the children, which we did not want anyway. They didn't need to have a face or a story. As long as we knew they were going hungry, we wanted to be able to place the food in their hands. So we have never met the children. We meet with the staff and the administrative staff frequently. And some of the stories, like Andy Groskowiak shared, is an example of the difference it's made. But real stories from children, they're just not available to us. But we know that those kids, the teachers have observed the children since they've been receiving food bags, coming to school nourished, ready to learn, able to focus, not so agitated. And, you know, just put yourself in the place of being hungry, really hungry. When we get hungry, the majority of us can go to the refrigerator, the cupboard, and fill our stomachs. And those children are in homes sometimes when there's not a parent, there's nobody around, and if they are, they're not cognizant of the hunger of their children. And so those kids have no choice but to wait till Monday morning to get back to school and back to food. The school provides breakfast, lunch, and dinner Monday through Friday, so they have a source of nourishment during the week. But 2 days without food, or very much food, is putting them in a place of extreme distress. So it's just been a good thing for us to know that those kids can come to school and really focus on learning, really focus on trying to be happy.
I agree. I agree. This is well worth all of your efforts. I'd like to reread this statement by Andy. Please, he's still the superintendent of schools?
Oh, yes. And Mike Harkle wrote, they call Mike Mr. H. And Andy, he's got a big, long last name, Griskowiak, and the children call him Mr. G. So it's Mr. H and Mr. G.
All right, I'm going to read the same statement that we opened with. And this is by Andy G., the school superintendent. Prior to the food backpack program for kids, Monday mornings and Friday afternoons were the times of unusual behavior for some children in our schools. For the children that had little to no food for the weekend, Monday morning was the time where many children scrambled to satisfy their hunger by eating everything they could get their hands on. Some children would roam from table to table, asking their friends for any uneaten or unwanted foods, and then proceeding to eat every morsel. Friday afternoons saw the hoarding of food by students that knew that nothing may be at home for the next few days. Certain students would bring their school bags to the cafeteria and collect anything that was given away or left behind to take home. Since the donation of the weekend food bags began, the mad scramble for foods on Monday morning and Friday afternoons has ceased. Dear listeners, this is America. Our children shouldn't be hungry. Please do everything you can to help the Food Backpack for Kids program. And Marilyn, do you have any final words? You've got time.
Well, I just want everybody to know that our team of volunteers, it's all volunteer. No one is paid. We do this out of a passion to make a difference and invest in our children who will be our leaders for tomorrow. As a program, our volunteers inspect what we expect. So that means we don't have to do things the same all the time. We always, with our singular focus, work on what is best for the children. How can we make this program better for our community? We began shopping all over Lane County to get our food. Well, we've restructured that as we inspect what we expect by shopping exclusively in Florence, Oregon. So all of that vast sum of money that we're now spending every year is reinvested back into the community. I just can't thank this community enough. I'm humbled. Our team is humbled as we reflect on how you, the community, has stepped up and said, no, this is not acceptable to us either. And your sacrificial giving, your generosity, your encouragement has made all the difference in the world to our volunteers. And we thank you.
Well, KXCR thanks you, Marilyn. As you know, we've done a public service announcement for the food backpack, and I have three more that are going to be beginning September 1st. We've got them all set up for you.
Yes, thank you.
And I hope our listeners can reach into their hearts and pockets and help you guys out. You deserve it.
Without the public, we couldn't do what we do, so they're as important as we are.
Excellent. And we're also going to give you a copy of this interview so you can play it wherever you like.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. We like helping.
Oh, that's evident.
And our PSAs and interviews are the way we can do it, by informing our community. Any last words, Marilyn?
Thank you does not seem adequate, but that's from the bottom of my heart. That is what I have to say to all of you today.
Well, at the bottom of your heart, I hear the children saying thank you.
Yep.
So imagine the children saying thank you, dear audience, for the donations, any help you can give, the food backpack for kids. Okay, that wraps it up. You've been listening to KXCR Radio 90.7 FM on your dial in Florence, Oregon. Be well.
This has been KXCR Conversations with you, a regular feature here at KXCR. Having a conversation is easy. Call 997-5252, email info@kxcr.net, or visit us at the station across from the library. Our combined history makes our community. We all have the energy and power to do good things. Organizing and energizing ourselves is a great step in conversation. This is Community Radio, KXCR, Florence, 90.7.